And I believe God has some strength for us there. He has some wisdom. Praise God. Recently, in our study of the book of Acts, we just to kind of bring us up to speed as we've been going along, there was a lame man that was in the temple. He was lame from birth. Peter and John came in and they healed him. He started jumping around the temple, leaping and carrying on and praising God. The people got all excited and there was this uproar. And so the leadership, the Sanhedrin, came down and arrested Peter and John and commanded them that they better not preach or teach about Jesus anymore. And so they left there and they prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, give us boldness, man. Pour out your Holy Spirit and do signs and wonders in our midst so that the name of Jesus can be exalted." And they just kept on getting it. And as they started to do signs and wonders and they began to preach with boldness, miracles began to happen right and left. In fact, the other week we were saying people were coming from all over the region to Jerusalem to find out what was going on. They were hearing about all these miracles and healings. They started bringing their people from all over the countryside and would lay them out in the streets so that as Peter passed by, his shadow, that glory that was around him as he walked by, his shadow would fall on them and they would get healed. And they were turning the city upside down. And when these things started happening, leadership got wind of it. And that brings us to verse 17. Praise God. Again, we don't have the overhead, so hope you brought your Bibles. Does anybody need a Bible? We can get one for you. No? We're cool? Awesome. Acts 5:17. "Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation." Now that word indignation means jealousy, but it means more than just a quiet, passive kind of, "Gee, why does he always have it so good?" That word there means a violent jealousy, a passionate, enraged jealousy, a violent jealousy. They were filled with indignation and violent jealousy. "And they laid hands on the apostles, and they put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. And he said, 'Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.'" I guess I would. If I was in prison and an angel came and opened the doors and brought me out into the streets, into freedom, I guess if he said, go stand in the temple and preach the gospel to the people, I guess I would go. What do you do? I love angels too, man. They're always right to the point. You know, he didn't come in there, "Hey, how you guys doing? Any coffee? So what's it like, you know? What's been happening these days, you know?" I mean, they're down to business, man. You meet an angel, you better do what he says, because they are right to the point and they mean business. He comes, he brings them out, he says, "Go, stand in the temple, preach to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. I know myself, I'd be like, "Lord, maybe, you know, that's dangerous out there. I've done been arrested before for this stuff. Maybe I'll wait till like 1 o'clock when everybody goes to lunch or something." They were there when the gates opened. Early in the morning, they said, "Okay, praise God, let's go, boys, let's do it." When they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and they taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel, and they sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Yeah, indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and guards standing outside the doors. But when we opened them, you know, they were shut securely. Them guards were standing there. They were there, man. It was locked tight as a drum. It was a sealed prison, boy. When them guys seal the doors, they seal the doors, man. It was locked. We went inside and, we found no one inside. By the way, how about them birds, man? Aren't they great? They're just tearing it up this year." I mean, they were reporting up high, man. You don't come and report that kind of stuff, man. Heads will roll when that kind of stuff happens. I can just imagine that. What in the world? And I can imagine the reaction. And in fact, verse 24 says, now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. Other translations say they wondered what was going to come next. What does this mean? Here's these guys, they're, you know, performing miracles, they're doing all this stuff. We put them in prison, they disappear. What does all this mean? We didn't study this in rabbinical school. I don't know what to do with this one. We locked them up. The doors were still shut. They're gone. Verse 25, someone came and told him, saying, look, the men whom you put in the prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And the captain went with the officers, and he brought them without violence. Can you imagine that? You can imagine the apostles standing there. They've been performing all these miracles as it is. Man, last time they heard Ananias and Sapphira fell down dead at their feet because they lied to them. Here the rulers of the land tried to arrest them. They stuck them in the prison, and they disappeared out of the prison, and now they're in the temple teaching. You can imagine the electricity that was in the air. Man, talk about church. You talk about it's Sunday. Man, them people were saying, yeah. The air was charged with excitement. And so they came and they gathered, and I'm sure they said something like, I know you guys are busy, but you know, those guys you talked to yesterday, they just want to kind of follow up with you. If you could spare a few moments, they just want to take you over to the meeting. Thank you so much. We're so grateful for your consideration. And brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now that's interesting, because it was not that long ago that as they stood there condemning him to death, they said and shouted out, his blood be upon us and upon our children. But that's when the deck looked stacked in their favor. Now it was a different day. Now the deck was stacked in the opposite direction. They weren't so sure of themselves, and they saw all the people rallying around the apostles, and they're thinking, man, there's a revolution in store here. Man, they're gonna look at us. They're going to, you know, exalt this guy as a hero, and they're going to look at us because we condemned him to death. We tortured the guy, ripped his back wide open, and hung him by nails on the cross till he bled to death. They're going to come after us. These guys were scared. They weren't scared like passive scared, like, oh, you know, I hope nothing bad happens, or I hope you guys treat us nice. They were scared like, I'm going to kill you scared. Like an animal backed in a corner. I don't know if you ever had a dog that, I don't know, just had a bad day and he backed himself up in a corner. You went to, you know, handle him and he started growling that growl at you like, you know, I'm just having a bad day. You better leave me alone. I don't know. Anybody ever have a dog in a mood like that? Okay, I have. You know, you're better off to leave him alone. Trust me. They were backed in a corner, scared. And they were dangerous because they were at a point of desperation. They would do anything to protect themselves. They thought the people were going to rise up against them. And then if the people didn't kill them, the Roman guards were going to come. And in order to preserve law and order, they were going to kill them. So they were in a bad predicament. They were desperate. And they said, look, you're filling Jerusalem with this stuff. You're intending to bring this man's blood upon you. And we told you strictly you are not to preach in this man's name. And I love verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Don't you love that? We ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. Let's all say that together. We ought to obey God rather than men. Amen? We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Praise God. We ought to obey God rather than man. That verse just shines like a neon light. It leaps off the pages when you read this passage. It just screams to my heart that when I come away from here, if nothing else, God would have me to lay a hold of this. We ought to obey God rather than men. And I believe the first step in gaining victory over the world in our struggle to stand strong for Christ is to embrace and fully realize and understand this fact that, number one, we ought to obey God rather than men. This is not simply one choice among many. Gee, what should I do in this situation? Well, you know, I could obey God and do this kind of thing. You know, but I don't know. If I do that, then this might happen, and that person will say that, and their friends, brothers, cousin might say this, and then that's going to cause problems, and, you know, it's inconvenient, and I really hadn't planned on it, and it's going to just make a lot of problems. So maybe I ought to look at choice B or choice C, or, you know, I never thought I'd do choice D, but who knows? Maybe in this situation, that's the best choice. You know, what's behind door number three before I take door number one? This is not the truth of life. This is not what God would have us to do. He would have us to know before anything else, before we even struggle with that thought in our mind, the foundation, number one, we ought to obey God rather than men, and start there. Whatever other arguments you're going to turn over your mind, start with that. Know that. That is no compromise. That is not to be altered or deviated from. We ought to obey God rather than men. Not, oh, I ought to obey God. Maybe if it's profitable, maybe if it'll help me get what I really want. Maybe if it's not inconvenient or won't cost me too much or won't make me look foolish or I won't lose any friends or I'll still be popular or I'll still make lots of money. No. 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 We will never taste true victory over the world and the flesh unless we make up our mind to believe that no matter what the cost, no matter what other benefit we might have from choosing otherwise, no matter what dangers are involved, no matter what inconveniences it might raise, true success, true peace, and true joy only ultimately comes from obeying God rather than men. Whatever the temporal, immediate benefit is, I don't care. In the big picture, I'm here to testify that this word is true. If you want true joy and you want true peace, if you want true success and victory in life, if you want to see the hand of God and His grace woven through your life, you need to establish from Jump Street, we ought to obey God rather than men before any other thing. If your boss wants you to fudge the numbers on some report and spin the truth and maybe twist or distort the result on the bottom line, whether it's some profit-loss statement or some scientific finding or some other survey or some kind of thing. He wants to look good to the board of directors. He wants that promotion. And he's pressuring you. You better not report it exactly like that. You better leave this one out or leave that one out. Or maybe just put this number in a different way, and we'll fix it later. But just for Tuesday at 3 o'clock, we got to make it look good. After that, we'll put everything back. We'll just say, well, it was a mistake. We'll cover our tracks. If he's trying to pressure you to compromise on your ethics, to lie rather than to stand on the truth, you need to know in your heart of hearts before you say a word to him, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen.